By the Way is a new radio show hosted by Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico. This show will keep listeners up to date on educational topics such as lifelong learning strategies and educational technology. By the Way is hosted by an expert in the field and is a perfect show for those who are passionate about learning and exploring new ideas. Join us for in-depth discussions, insightful interviews, and practical tips that will help you stay up to date with the latest educational trends.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Rio Doso. And good morning. It is the first Thursday of the month, and that means it's By the Way, and here's your host, Michelle Perry.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Mean and Henry. You know me.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, so nice to see you.
You too.
And I've got an amazing guest today.
Yes, you do.
An amazing guest. Her
name. And Tigers are going to win.
And Tigers always win.
There you go.
And I got April Shea here today, Principal Shea from Alamogordo High School. I am so thankful and so gracious that you have joined us today. I am excited to talk with you about some really cool things regarding technology and education, as it were. But you and I have known each other a long time.
We have.
And I am so pleased about watching your career and where you are today, because you're doing amazing things over at that high school. And so just amazingly proud of you. You're just a super awesome educator, and I'm really, really glad we get the chance to talk today. So tell us about yourself. Tell us about how you landed up as the principal of AHS.
Well, you know, I never thought I'd be here, but I'm super glad I am. I started out as a teacher. I was teaching New Mexico history and geography. I taught ninth graders for 16 years. Loved every minute of it. I love them, ninth graders. Love New Mexico history. I love geography. But it just, there was something more that I needed to do. And so my husband encouraged me to go into administration. I had some absolutely wonderful principals who encouraged me. Thank you, Ms. Perry. I had some great colleagues who encouraged me in that journey. And I got my first position over at Chaparral Middle School to be an assistant principal. That was an adventure. So I was there for about 3.5 years, and I loved my time in middle school. Really got to know what it is to be an assistant principal and everything that goes with that. I got the opportunity to move to the high school back a year, two and a half years ago almost. And so got to move over to the high school. That's where my heart is. My heart is at the high school with all the time I've spent there. Mm-hmm. Finished that year out as assistant principal. And then as Dr. Callantine moved on to the director of curriculum instruction that year, they made the decision and made me head principal. And it's been a journey. And I love all the challenges that come my way, because they're all for the kids.
Yeah, but you literally bleed black and gold. Like, you have been a Tiger forever.
Yeah, I probably left that part out. My dad came here with the military when I was in second grade.
Yeah.
And so we came here. I went to Heights Elementary, which is no longer there. I went to Chaparral Middle School. My dad retired here. And so we tried to move away, but as Alamogordo does, it sucks you right back in. I came back as an eighth grader to Chaparral Middle School, finished high school here. I subbed here for a little while getting my degree. I did a year at Father James B. Hay. I know that's not what it's called. Sorry.
In my it's heart, called something else now.
In my heart, that's still its name.
It's always what it is.
And then I got my opportunity at the high school, and I coached cross country and track. Yay, cross country.
Yay.
And just started my journey that way. So I love Alamogordo. I love Alamogordo. Being an Alamogordo Tiger, I was never a band member, but I love getting to lead them once every game. I try to. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Being up there, being obnoxious, it's great.
You know, it just feels like you have really found your niche, and you are excelling and you're enjoying it. So talk to me about what are some of the best things about being the principal over at the high school.
Well, I always joke with the kids, you know, I'm there to torment them, make their lives miserable, but the kids are great. You know, we have amazing kids at Alamogordo High School.
Yes.
I know teenagers get a bad rap, but you know what? They're teenagers and they're learning. And what we forget is we've all been there. We've all been teenagers. We all made our mistakes, and some adult was there to help us through that. Some adult was there to help us learn from that and, move forward and not be judged. And so that's our goal is our on our admin team. You know, our kids are going to make mistakes, but they're, you know, they're kids and they're wonderful and they need to learn. And we have kids who are involved in so many different things, and everything that they juggle is amazing to me. And I'm so proud of our students.
So, you know, with teenagers who attend grades 9 through 12 in public school and at Alamo Gordo High School for specifics, they are like adults in children's bodies and minds, right? Or I guess they have adult bodies and children's minds, right? And so they, you know, sometimes want to be treated as adults, but then unfortunately they still act like children and have to be, you know, guided and directed. And so that it's a precarious age. You know, it's a very instrumental time in their life. It's a very impactful time in their life in which things will guide them and direct them towards their future, like exponentially. And so what kinds of things at the high school are done to help the whole child, you know, not just this future career workforce member, but just like what kinds of things do you guys do at the high school to really promote that child's well-being?
Well, starting in, well, I want to say eighth grade, because we're starting to choose schedules in the spring every year. So we're looking at what is that career path. And a lot of kids in eighth and ninth grade, 12th grade, they're not sure what they want to do. We all get to be grown-ups and we're like, huh, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. So we're trying to help them look into different career pathways. What works for you? So we have different platforms that they use to try and help gauge their interest and interest inventories. And hey, you're good at this, or you're, this is what you want to do, but maybe it's not a strong point. Here's how to get there. So we have a lot of tools to help them figure out who they are. And we offer a lot of clubs to get involved in sports, just so that they can find out who they are. And any connection you can make to the high school is going to make your experience there that much better. So we have from JROTC, we have student council. We have so many different clubs that students can get involved in, as well as the athletics. And so having those ties, you might not go on to play basketball in college, but that time on that basketball team is so important. Mm-hmm. And you may not go on into the military, but that time in ROTC is so important. And what it does to build that team, whether you're a club or a team, it makes you who you are. Mm-hmm. And it helps you to learn about who you are and what you want to be, mm-hmm. or what direction you might want to go. You may not know exactly what opportunities are there, but it helps you to know that what your interests are and push you that way.
So, you know, when we think about all of the clubs and activities, and we are able to guide and direct students towards those, you know, we're thinking about them building their own personal leadership skills, mm-hmm. and becoming who they are. And whether that be a student who wants to be a leader in the student body government, like in student council, or a student who wants to be a leader in FAA, you know, there's places for each of these students whose interests, you know, drive them to those clubs. And, you know, I think that we often forget about how awesome how awesome it is that we have at AHS the career and technical education opportunities. So, you know, of course we've got students who are perhaps, you know, driven to take, you know, all of these advanced courses and you know, go to a 4-year institution, and we want to promote that for sure, and we want to definitely help them excel. But then we also have students who really want to get into the workforce and want to get, you know, their skills underway. And so talk to us about all those wonderful CTE programs that you have at AHS.
We really have some wonderful CTE programs, and our CTE coordinator has really been, we're working really close together to get our work-based learning program going to where we can actually pay students to get these skills while at work. We've got a couple, we're kind of starting small, but we're getting there. We've got some students who are in a firefighter internship. We've got four this year. We had two last year. We have our students in our Ed Rising Club who are in their practicum. They are a part of that work-based learning program.
And that's educators.
And that's our Educators Rising. Mm-hmm. We have I'm super proud. We had it to where we were going to include our big brothers, big sisters. We have a number of students in that. They opted to be out of that. They wanted to count it as volunteer hours to get their cords for graduation. So they said, no, I'd rather count it as graduation. That showed a lot of character to me in those students to choose that over getting paid, which mm-hmm. is really neat. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of things that we're looking at. We're trying to build those partnerships. Like I said, our CTE coordinator, Miss Alday, is really working with the community to see what we can pull in. And we know that we're starting off small, but it's going to turn into something big where we can get more kids seeing that direction that they can go. We have a great welding program where students start, they can start as a freshman and go through 4 years and learn different skills every year. Our automotive class, we have about, I want to say, 4 or 5 people in auto 4. And the fourth year classes are hard to keep a lot of kids because they're seniors. They don't need a full schedule. And so to have that many in a fourth year class is pretty amazing. And so we're looking at what would that internship look like with different companies. We have our film classes where they go to the film festival every year and mm-hmm. we always come home with awards for Alamogordo High School, and they do an amazing job. Our ProStart, our mm-hmm. nutrition and cooking classes, mm-hmm. our FCCLA mm-hmm. Kids, they went to Denver last year. They came back with some prizes. It was amazing. We're looking forward to that this year and what they're going to come back with. We've started BPA up, Business Professionals of America. Yeah. Nice. And so last year we had about 3 or 4. This year they've got a little bit more coming to their club. Their names are getting out there that they're going to these different competitions and competing, and they're doing quite well.
Yeah.
I know I'm missing people, but there's so much
there is
to talk about in the area of CTE.
Agriculture class.
Our FFA are getting ready to go to nationals to go build their leadership skills so that they can pass that on to their green hands and keep that club mm-hmm. alive, because most of our officers this year are seniors, all mm-hmm. but two. We have all but three are seniors. So they're really trying to build that leadership within themselves to keep that going.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, we're talking welding, auto, ag, culinary, business, I mean, even Ed Rising.
Computers.
What about Mesa? Is Mesa still around?
We have a new teacher in there. This is her second year with us. She has just jumped in full-fledged. She is building that Mesa program, and I am so proud of her. She jumped in. She learned what she needed to do. The kids right now are working on a I can say that because he knows, are working on a prosthetic arm for a student. And that's part of their project for Mesa. And so I was in her class the other day, and the students were just running the conversation. They're building a survey for the kids. They're getting that information out about that. And it was great to see them talking about, okay, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we going to make these different parts work? Uh-huh. And it's amazing to see their brains work.
So that collaboration, there you just like went straight to the core, mm-hmm. I think, of what skill sets we need to be preparing our students with. Mm-hmm. And that's that teamwork, collaboration, coordination, cooperation. Yep. And that takes skill sets. That takes skill sets of being able to articulate what you're thinking, listen with intent to other people, and then problem solve. And so that sounds like something that perhaps would be embedded in all of those programs. Would that be accurate?
Very much so. As you get into the year 3 and year 4 classes, not to say the year 1 and 2, those are a lot of skill building in year 1 and year 2. Once you get into the year 3 and year 4 classes into these CTE, it is very much student-led. And going into the film classes, mm-hmm. they have their competitions that they pick. Okay, I'm going to do a commercial. I'm going to do a short documentary. I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to research this in Alamogordo. I love how Miss Wallace brings in Alamogordo history so much into into their project, mm-hmm. and the students research it and they do the work. And it's amazing to see that growth from year one when they're getting their basic skills to year three and four when they are running their own projects.
Yeah, production is a huge event. I mean, that's some serious skills right there that they have to actually put into play. And I remember helping coordinate the Desert Light Film Festival mm-hmm. the years that I was over at NMSU, and that was such an impressive event. And those kids would just come and blow our socks off every year. So very cool stuff. Well, I want to segue a little bit because, you know, we talk about CTE and we talk about all of these activities these students do within these contexts, you know, whether it's the greenhouse for FFA or an automobile with auto, or, you know, welders with welding. But what about the role of technology? Because, you know, that is my passion. Educational technology is absolutely my passion. How have you seen technology weave its way into the daily lives of your teachers and students?
Well, it's definitely been a journey. I remember as a teacher, we had three or four carts that we could check out, and you had to completely plan around other teachers. You had to get to that sign-up sheet first, mm-hmm. and then, you know, and then you did what you could using technology. There was a lot out there, but we didn't have as much available as a teacher. We definitely were not one-to-one with computers. We had enough computers to get through testing when that was needed. But then COVID hit, and we were already on top of it, on top of that as a district, working towards that goal of one-to-one. We had already been having those conversations with technology. I believe you and I were on that committee together.
We certainly were.
Through my internship, and I got to work on that. And so we were already working that direction. So we already had a lot of that capacity built, and our tech team downtown is amazing, mm-hmm. and they took care of it. They got computers out to kids. They worked around the clock to make sure that our kids were taken care of when we came back online. When yeah. after everyone else went home, they made it happen. And then they still continue to make that happen to where we have one-to-one computers. What does that look like? And so at each different level, it is a little bit different, but they work with us all the time to get through some of the struggles that come with technology. You're always going to have, you've got to take the bad with the good. You're going to have different ways that students find ways around blocks, you know, things, and we deal with that. Mm-hmm. But there's always, the good always outweighs the bad. Mm. And our kids can access information in a way that they never have been able to before. And I think that that is absolutely wonderful. Our teachers can get information out to our students in ways that they weren't able to before. Just the idea of, and this is a small thing, but the Kahoot quizzes are mm-hmm. so much fun mm-hmm. to get people to compete in class and have fun learning. Mm-hmm. I use them in professional development, and I get groups of teachers to go against each other and on just what did I talk about, and I pull that up, and it's a lot of fun and a way to engage students in a review or something like that, or a pretest mm-hmm. or there are so many different ways, and our teachers are amazing in how they use that technology and bring it to the students. One of the things that's come up this year,
dun, dun, dun,
is AI. How do we deal with AI?
You and the rest of the world.
Exactly. We know that we're not alone.
Right.
One of the things that we feel about it as an admin team is it's not going away. It's here. I mean, spell check was AI, mm-hmm. and the world was in an uproar. How many years? 15, 20 years ago about spell check.
And then before and that, now, the calculator.
Yes. And now what would we do without spell check? Mm-hmm. How many of us really use spell check every day and are thankful for that because we can get through our work a lot faster and not have to be so detailed and find it. It helps us out. Mm-hmm. AI is going to have some issues. We're going to mm-hmm. have to take the good with the bad. But in the end, the more we embrace it and teach our kids how to use it, teach them how to be responsible users of AI and not just type something in and turn it in. How can we embrace that and still be able to teach our content? Because it is possible.
You know, that's really the core of it about using AI is it's really going to have an impact on how we instruct, the strategies we bring to the classroom for instruction. So I go around the state and I provide professional development on this topic and virtual reality. And a lot of times I'll come in to a group of teachers and 80% of them are really intrigued and excited about how to better use AI in their instructional practices. And about 20% not so sure. And then there's always a couple that are like, heck no, I won't go. And there's some misgivings about it. And like you said, some problems, especially around privacy and protecting our children, you know, always. Same with VR, same with virtual reality. We got to make sure just like when the internet dawned, you know, when AOL hit the streets and the internets came, as Al Gore would say. And, you and I witnessed that evolution, right, firsthand in the educational setting. And I went from one day being a teacher with no computer on my desk, doing everything handwritten, including my grade book and attendance, to the next day having a computer on my desk and being trained on how to enter those grades and attendance electronically. And now we're all the way here where I can type a few words into an application like Magic School or CuriePod, and I have an entire lesson in less than 2 seconds. So that was unimaginable back in 1992. Like, that was just, there was no way you could even imagine that. And that's what I always use as an example.
Yep.
Back then, we couldn't have imagined what we see today, just like we can't imagine what it's going to look like, you know, in another 30 years. And so we have to keep our minds open about this constant evolution, but in the same time, protect our children and do it very safely. And that's what a lot of the conversations are around, is the effective use of technology, where to use it, how it comes in to be an effective tool, an enhancing tool, not a substitution.
Yep.
We're not looking to, you know, continue on in education as robots. Like, of course not. And we need human to human contact. And if you've expressed that so well today, because as you said, we are teaching children leadership skills, cooperation skills, coordination, problem solving. That comes from human interaction. So it comes back to the teacher, doesn't it? Like, where the teacher becomes a facilitator and not a giver of knowledge. Because like you said before, students have access to knowledge level. Like, if you think of Webb's depth of knowledge, we think of that level, that this is a stands for apple. This is the name of a part of a cell. This is the name of this monument in Washington, D.C. That's just knowledge level information. Kids can find that out
easily.
If it's
Googleable, they can find it.
It is. So, How, in your opinion, do teachers, or how have you seen teachers accommodate that reality? What are they doing to change their instructional practices? How has this influenced their instructional practices?
So that Googleable information, still important, because we don't want to have to Google everything every time we have a question. We still need that basic level of knowledge. That's not going to go away. We still have to teach that, but we need that basic level to take it up a notch, to take it to where those questions, those deeper questions, why is that monument, you know, I know the name of that monument, what happened to make it there? What's the result of that? What are the cause and effect behind that? So we still need to get that base level knowledge, even if it is Googleable, but we need to understand that that's Googleable, and that's not...
I think you just coined a new term there, Googleable.
There we go. But what we really need to do, we need to push our kids to think about those deeper questions.
Yeah.
And we need to help them along the way. We need to do that gradual release where we are showing them how we're getting to those deeper questions. How are we getting there? What are those thought processes, so that we can gradually get them to be asking those questions themselves.
So, you know, in depth of knowledge, we get to this application phase, right? Or Bloom's, you can take whatever, you know, paradigm you want. But nonetheless, there comes a point where educators have got to get their students into the application, synthesization, the evaluation stages. And so can you think of any like specific example, like even in the CTE courses where they're taking students from that base of knowledge and then propelling them into the actual application of their newly learned skills or newly learned information. Can you give us an example of that kind of situation?
Well, going into, like we talked about MESA, you know, first they have their intro to engineering where they're getting some of those basic things. I was in her class last year and they had a box. They had to find out, they had to make a cupcake delivery system where this box could easily fit either 12 cupcakes or 24 mini ones, and they had to be delivered, and they had so many tools. That's definitely an application phase where you're applying your knowledge of engineering, and you wouldn't think of a cupcake box as engineering, but it is. Our computer classes, they're cybersecurity classes in there where they get different problems given to them that they have to figure out as a team on how to solve this cybersecurity problem. But yet they had to start at some of those basic computer application courses, which they're not very basic because I go in there and I'm like, wow, I don't know what all that green and red and yellow little things are, but they do, and they're building these different programs. But to get to cybersecurity, they have to do those other things first. So they all have that level to get there.
Man, April, it sounds like you guys over there are doing amazing things, and I'm just so proud of AHS and so proud of all the great things you and your staff and your teachers are doing there. And so, April, if anybody has curiosity about what's happening over at AHS, what should they do?
Whenever we have an open house or a community night, we're looking at a different, what are we going to be doing this semester for a literacy night? And we're talking as a leadership team. We've actually come up with some really great ideas. So I'm just going to leave you in suspense there. It'll be in one of my next parent newsletters that I know y'all love to get. But we'll be having something that really tries to get our parents into the school to see what does literacy look like in social studies? What does it look like in CTE? Because literacy is a part of everything that we do. And it looks different in auto, in MESA, in history, in math. We don't think of math and literacy, but literacy is connected to every single subject.
Reading and writing across the curriculum, that's what we used to call it, so I get it totally. Well, we're almost out of time, and so if anybody wants information like today about what's going to be going on, should they go to the website, or should they call the high school, or what should they do?
Well, as of today, there are no, like, perfect plans with a date in place because we are working on that right now. As soon as we have it, it will be up on the website. Michelle is great at getting all that out there, and we'll also be sending it out to parents through newsletters.
Awesome. And April, once again, thank you so much for being on our program today. Always a pleasure.
By the Way is a new radio show hosted by Michelle Perry, owner of Learn New Mexico. This show will keep listeners up to date on educational topics such as lifelong learning strategies and educational technology. By the Way is hosted by an expert in the field and is a perfect show for those who are passionate about learning and exploring new ideas. Join us for in-depth discussions, insightful interviews, and practical tips that will help you stay up to date with the latest educational trends.
Tune in to By the Way the first Thursday each month at 8 a.m. right here on KHII 88.9 FM Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and KEDU 102.3 FM Ruidoso.